taxi. What someone else can do to me is a long way home, but love's so warm, you'll see. Here I am again, early morning, cold taxi. Early morning, cold taxi. Early morning, cold taxi. Each time I do it, I feel so down and out. Early morning cold taxi. Though my mind is strange, I'll keep on no doubt. 3:36, it's cold. I know I'm growing old. One day we'll be wed. This I know was what she said.
Centerpiece of my dreams. Must be strange times in which I wanna know you like you know me.
And I can say it a million times, but
that won't make it so.
Yeah, I can say it a million times, but that won't make it so.
You're the chin.
This is Batman. No one has ever lived to say this, but when I'm defending Gotham City from psychopathic motherfuckers, my Batmobile is set to 91.5 WMFO Medford.
Thank you. Good Sunday morning, everyone. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com radio and YouTube. And I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, March the 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in the conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, I would certainly love to hear your perspective. What's going on out there in your neck of the woods? And since we got on the air a little bit late today, we're going to jump right into the sports scores. How about that? Let's go to the National Basketball Association. Last night, the Knicks 102, the Pistons 89. Bad news for Boston fans, Cavaliers 120, Celtics 103. Hawks 107, Clippers 97. Bulls 108, Rockets 100. Spurs 104, Kings 94. Sorry about that. Try to get our background music up here. Here we go. Okay, where were we? Spurs 104, the Kings 94, Jazz 106, Pelicans 94, Pacers 100, Wizards 99. It wasn't a total loss. Timberwolves 132, the Brooklyn Nets 118. That's our pick. So I say it wasn't a total loss last night. In that Cavaliers-Celtics game, Isaiah Thomas got 27 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. Sullinger, 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 1 assist. Bradley, 12 points. I don't see how they cannot re-sign Sullinger. Bradley, 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. Crowder, 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. Turner, 11 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. Johnson, 8 points, 1 rebound, and an assist. Zella, 8 points, 3 rebounds, and no assists. Jerebko, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Marcus Smart got 3 points, 3 rebounds, and no assists. And that was part of the problem right there. Marcus was in early foul trouble throughout the game, had 5 fouls, personal fouls, and that probably took him right out of his game. But, hey, that's the way it goes. You got to learn how to play with the play and not get the fouls and keep yourself in the game. Crowder probably wore himself out covering LeBron, so he only got 12 points to cut down on his efficiency. And so, yeah, we could have used Olynyk last night. And they said that Love was not going to play. He did play. I think he got about 10 points for the Cavaliers. James got 28 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, just dominated the game. Irving got 20 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. J.R. Smith got 14 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. Shumpert, get this one. He's the point guard. Shumpert, 12 points. 16 rebounds. I don't know if that was a typo or not, but that's what it says. 12 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. And that had obviously had the Cavaliers' fast break going like crazy because those had to be long, rebounds. When I say long rebounds, rebounds, near the foul line distance or thereabouts. Anyway, and Thompson got 12 points, 5 rebounds, and no assists. Like I said, Cavaliers 120, Celtics 103. But, like I said, also, there's good news. The cup is half full. The Nets lost last night also. And so, therefore, the Celtics draft pick, I think, is in the top three. Let me check here. Right now, it's in the top three, where it will be when the season ends. That's another story. and where those ping pong balls bounce. We haven't had a favorable ping pong ball bounce in I don't know when. Probably since they brought in the ping pong. We haven't had a favorable. Oh, we did get Paul Pierce. Okay, let's see. Brooklyn is 17-45. Philadelphia looks like they're safe with only 8 wins. And right now the Lakers have second pick. And Phoenix has third. We have fourth pick. Come on, you Nets. Drop some more games here for us. Anyway, we'll see what happens as the season goes on. Okay, 417 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org. Multicasting and iTunes.com radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday. Sunday, March the 6th, 2016 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. I'll be right back, promise.
Public health has greatly expanded its reach. Once primarily dealing with water, infectious diseases, and sanitation, public health departments now treat health issues that are deeply embedded in our lives. I'm Marjorie McGinn, President of Women in Government, an organization of women state legislators. In reflecting on public health's many advances, we are thankful that public health departments have partnered with childhood lead poisoning prevention programs to study childhood lead poisoning and blood lead levels. Women in Government, an organization of women state legislators, wants you to learn more about how your local public health department is saving lives and money, and they assist in responding to local disasters while still fighting infectious disease. To learn more about state public health departments, please visit womeningovernment.org/public.health. That's womeningovernment.org/public.health.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A. Brown, Perspective on Sports. 422 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800. If you missed it, we already gave the NBA scores, so... hey, what can I tell you? We're moving on to the National Hockey League. The Wild 3 and the Sabres 2. The Jets 4 and the Canadiens 2. Flames 4 and the Penguins 2. Predators 5, you guessed it, Avalanche 2. Canucks 4 and the Sharks 2. About that. 2 was a losing number last night in the National Hockey League. Here's a different one. Coyotes 5 and the Panthers 1. Ducks 3 and the Kings 2. Here we go back to the 2s again. Senators 3 and the Leafs 2. Flyers 6 and the Blue Jackets zip. Lightning 4 and the Hurricanes 3. And bad news for the Bruins fans. If they'd gotten 2 goals, they would have at least tied. Maybe they'd be still playing shootout. I don't know. But anyway, Capitals 2, Bruins 1. That was an overtime game. And in that game, in the first period, at 7-11, Patrice Bergeron scored with assists from Marchand and Stempniak. And that was it, as far as the Bruins are concerned. In the second period, 13:08, Kyle Alzner of the Capitals scored with assists from Ovechkin and Backstrom. In the third period, no scoring whatsoever. And it wasn't until 2:36 of the overtime that Matt Niskanen scored the winning goal with assists from Johansson and Burakovsky. Final score, Capitals 2, Bruins 1. It's 424 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM dial. We're on the internet as well, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, March the 6th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in some conversation. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. The number again, 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Before we break, it seems like the Bruins and Celtics have the same problem, maybe a little more exacerbated on the Bruins side. A young ball club primarily, and consistency is a major problem with both ball clubs. Probably more so the Bruins than the Celtics, but you know, if you're just going to look at the glass half full, they are in the playoffs. Both teams are in the playoffs. that doesn't say much for the teams that are not in the playoffs, because these teams certainly have deficiencies. Bruins and Celtics have deficiencies. How far they will go is, I guess, is how long is it going to take to improve the consistency, and without perhaps standout players, you know, on both sides, on both teams, that it could be a very short playoff. Or here again, they could get hot, you know, and go far beyond my personal expectations. I said at the beginning of the year, matter of fact, I said at the beginning of last year, a season rather, that, you know, they looked like they were, Bruins especially, looked like they were very deficient in the offensive side of the game. In some of the changes they made sort of like impacted the defense as well. The Celtics generally play, you know, pretty solid defense. They've got both units playing very good on the defensive end. Is that sometimes some of the key players you would hope would be able to raise their game to a consistent level, guys like Evan Turner and Olynyk when he's not hurt. Who else? Thomas and Crowder have been the most consistent ones. Thomas over 20 points a game. Crowder getting his 15 points a game on average. But after that, there's a big drop-off in consistency. Sellinger's been doing his double-double thing in recent games. But I really don't know, since he's playing out of position, whether you know you can expect too much more from him than what he's getting yet. 8, 9, 10 points a game. But Bradley's been in and out, you know, and as far as consistency is concerned. And that's been a major problem. So if they aren't, you know, performing excellently on the defensive end, some games they're going to have problems, like last night, where the Cavaliers got over 120 points. So anyway, here we go. We'll see what happens. We'll keep our fingers crossed, cross our toes and everything else to see if our teams can improve. As the season comes down to the final 20-some-odd games. 4:28 here on WMFO in Memphis. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. I'll be back.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone
older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
And also brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:38 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports here from now until 5 a.m. Generally on the air, about 4 a.m. If you're on the fringes of our signal, you can get us on the internet at www.wmfo.org or on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can also download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. Let's get back to the sports scores. Let's go to college, men's college basketball last night. Kansas, 85. Iowa State, 78. Michigan State, 91. Ohio State, 76. Villanova, 84. Georgetown, 71. Virginia, 68. Louisville, 46. Xavier, 98. Creighton, 93. Oklahoma, 75. TCU, 67. Upset. Unranked Virginia Tech defeated number 7 Miami, 77-62. North Carolina, 76. Duke, 72. Oregon, 76, USC, 66, West Virginia, 69, Baylor, 58, Utah, 57, Colorado, 55, Iowa, 71, Michigan, 61, Arizona, 94, Stanford, 62, Texas A&M, 76, Vanderbilt, 67, Kentucky, 94, LSU, 77, and California, 68, Arizona State, 65. No major changes at the top of the rankings for men's college basketball, so we'll just move right on to the ladies. UConn, 92, East Carolina, 51. Notre Dame, 78, Miami, 67, South Carolina, 93, Kentucky, 63. These are the women. Baylor, 82, Texas Tech, 51, Maryland, 83, Northwestern, 62, Texas, 66, Kansas, 50, upset. Syracuse, ranked number 17, defeated Louisville, ranked number 7. 80-75. Oregon State, 57. Washington, 55. Another upset. Michigan State, ranked number 19, defeated Ohio State, ranked number 9, 82-63 in ladies basketball. UCLA, 73. California, 67. Mississippi State, 58. Tennessee, 48. South Florida, 73, SMU, 60, West Virginia, 74, Kansas State, 65, and Oklahoma, 61, Oklahoma State, 43. In that UConn game, Breonna Stewart got 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Tuck got 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Mariah Jefferson, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. And 4 steals, by the way. Nurse got 13 points and 1 rebound. Samuelson got 16 points, 1 rebound, and 4 assists. Butler got That's 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Williams, 14 points. Gabby, 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 assists. And Culver got 6 points, 1 rebound, and an assist. For East Carolina, Payne got 16 points, 5 rebounds, and assists. And Taylor got 14 points, 5 rebounds, and assists. And an assist. UConn ladies keep rolling right along. And Notre Dame's in second place, and South Carolina is in third place. And they may be the major competitors with UConn for undefeated season, another title, and on and on and on and on and on. We'll see when the playoff time comes. It's 4:43 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on the FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, March the 6th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. The number again, 617-627-3800. I'll be back.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Been planning to do this for a couple of weeks now. Haven't got into it yet, but we're going to dip our toes in the water right now. And we're going to look at the Boston Red Sox upcoming season. How about that, sports fans? Okay, as we all know, David Price was the big acquisition, $19,750,000 worth of acquisition. And I will be disappointed if he doesn't win 20 games. Clay Buchholz, if he can stay healthy, I don't see any reason why he couldn't come up with 15. Shouldn't come up with 15. Where's my pen? That's what I'm looking for. He shouldn't come up with 15 victories as well. I wouldn't pencil anybody else in as a sure thing after these two. There's Rick Porcello, of course. And perhaps my outside shot would be Joe Kelly. I see him having enough to make the middle of the rotation. And that would allow us then to slip Eduardo Rodriguez into the number 4 spot in the starting rotation. How many these wins these guys would get after the 35 we accounted for Buchholz? Porcello, if he's having a fairly good year, you know, getting back to where we thought he would be when we gave him $12,500,000. He could come close to 15, so that's 50 wins right there. Kelly, another 15. That's 65 wins right there. And that takes the pressure off Rodriguez. If he can get 12 or 13, that's 78 wins out of our starting rotation. In the bullpen, I like Matt Barnes. Craig Breslow showed signs off and on last year. I don't know that much about Roenis Elias and Williams Jerez that we picked up. So how they do, I guess, you know, I'm going to have to wait and see like everybody else. Brian Johnson, I think he'll be back in the minors. Craig Kimbrell and Tommy Lane probably also. Henry Owens. Now, there's a guy that could possibly crack the rotation. But do we want 3 left-handers in our rotation? I don't know, especially at Fenway Park. We'll have to wait and see how well that goes. Noel Ramirez, here again, someone I've never seen. Robbie Ross Jr., got a good shot at making the bullpen. Carson Smith, supposedly they're really high on him. He's a right-hander. I think he throws sidearm and gets it up there. So he could be, you know, a sixth, seventh inning man. Junichi Tozawa, hopefully his arm hasn't fallen off after last year. And we'll be able to cut back on his numbers. And he, you know, hopefully will be able to put up some numbers with a less egregious type schedule. Koji. Koji's supposed to be right in front of our closer. Who is K. Craig Kimbrell? We'll see how that works. Brandon Workman's coming back from Tommy John surgery, so I don't look for him. Stephen Wright will probably wind up in Pawtucket, but with a knuckleball, and if he continues to improve with it, who knows? He could crack his way into at least the bullpen sometime during the season. Ryan Hannigan and Blake Swihart should be the catchers starting off. We can send Christian Vasquez down to Pawtucket to work his way back slowly without putting all the pressure on him. The question is, first of all, how is his arm going to hold up after the Tommy John surgery? And secondly, is he going to hit enough? I see Blake Swihart becoming a really good hitter to the point where whatever deficiencies he has as a catcher, it's not gonna be noticed if he hits close to 280s, 300, like I think he is going to be able to do. And I say the same thing about Hanley Ramirez. Everybody's talking about, can he play first base? You know, what a disaster it was in the outfield. Hanley Ramirez's main problem last year was running into the wall. And that took away from his bat. That's what we hired him for. For his bat, not for his... We didn't think he was going to be a gold glover. Okay, but his bat was supposed to take up enough of the slack so that you took your eyes off the... And then you could bring in someone in the late innings for defense. But when he hurt his shoulder, that sort of like crimped his ability to hit the ball well. And power went down, average went down, and and everybody jumped on him except me. I just took it as, you know, hey, you put the guy in a new position, and Fenway Park is not the easiest place to play. And so, therefore, I'm not... The person that surprised me, however, was Pablo Sandoval. What happened to him? Is it the weight? I don't know. But anyway, he was a major disappointment and a bad ball. Swung at so many bad balls, you couldn't say that he was in a slump. He helped the pitcher out so often. It was just unbelievable. And they stopped him from switch hitting because he did so poorly against right-handed pitchers batting left-handed. And I don't know if there was any major improvement in his batting from the right side against right-handed pitchers. Or was it left side against right-handed pitchers? Anyway, we're going to see whether the weight is an issue and how he is going to do this year. Brock Holt, we still have the valuable guy, our only all-star last year. I don't know where he's going to play. Maybe we're going to give Dustin Pedroia more time off and give Brock Holt more time at second base. He's not really a third baseman, even though he can play it, but we'll see what happens. Xander Bogaerts was last year a fluke. And I can't help laughing at all these people saying, oh, he didn't hit any home runs. He didn't hit many home runs. Only, what, 7 home runs. He should be, you know, hitting more than that. Well, listen, the way he can hit, if I'm a pitcher coming into Fenway Park, I am giving him nothing on the inside that he's going to be able to swing at. If I give him stuff on the inside, hopefully he's going to drop down out of the strike zone, and he'll top it into the infield. But you give him, you know, consistently good pitches on the inside, he's going to crush the left field wall and over the wall. But he showed how good a hitter he's going to be and the potential he has for a young 22-year-older, that he learn how to go with the outside pitch and hit it for power to right center and center field. And what more can you ask than that? came close to winning the batting title. What, third in the league in batting? Hey, I'll take that and let somebody else drive him in. He'll hit with men in scoring position. He'll hit, he'll hit. So don't worry about it and don't get on this case about not hitting home runs. Travis Shaw, I see him as a defensive replacement for Hanley Ramirez in late innings at first base. And since he is an infielder by trade, third baseman, I do believe, that Sandoval doesn't get on the stick right off the bat, Travis Shaw could be seeing some time at third base. In the outfield, you got to go with the young guys. Castillo, Betts, and Jackie Bradley Jr. I see that they've been playing Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field somewhat. He had a fairly good end of the year last year. The question is, what is he going to be able to do this year? Can he improve on that? We know he's got the glove. Mookie Betts, where are you going to bat these guys? That's the question. If David Ortiz is your cleanup hitter and Dustin Pedroia is batting third, where are we going to bat the rest of these guys? That is yet to be determined, and I haven't got any answer on that. I would think with Ortiz batting fourth, you want to bat Hanley Ramirez fifth. My sleeper for making the Red Sox this year is Alan Craig. Craig can play both corner positions in the outfield. He can also play first base. And so, therefore, I look for him to make the ball club this year. Along with Chris Young. Can we get that many guys on the club? Along with Chris Young and Travis Shaw. So, that's it. We'll give you a little bit more next Sunday, Lord willing. And maybe we'll get in a little bit about the pitch. Have been cutting players left and right. Everybody's all upset because the judges seem to come down on Brady's lawyers in the Deflategate case. Hey, take it to the Supreme Court. They only got 8 judges, so who knows when that would come up, if it would ever come up. So, we'll see where it goes from there. This is yours, Donald.